Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for the Tech Guy is provided by CacheFly. CacheFly.com. Hi, this is Leo Laporte, and this is my Tech Guy podcast. The show originally aired on the Premier Networks on Saturday, September 3rd, 2016. This is episode 1319. Enjoy. The Tech Guy podcast is brought to you by Texture, the mobile app that lets you access the world's most popular magazines anytime, anywhere on your phone or your tablet. For your free trial, visit texture.com/twit. And by Epson's new EcoTank printers. With Epson's line of SuperTank all-in-one printers, you can print thousands of documents without running out of ink. EcoTank is loaded and ready to print when you are. Visit Epson.com/EcoTank to find out more. Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers and the internet and home theater and digital photography and smartphones and smartwatches and all that jazz. 888-ASK-LEO. That's the phone number, 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada outside that area. You can, of course, use Skype to reach us, 888-ASK-LEO. Website, should know that too, techguylabs.com, techguylabs.com. Well, big story this week, kind of shocked me, Samsung's Galaxy Note 7, which I had recommended, my mistake, can explode when charging. Samsung says it's just some limited bad batteries. Not all of the phones apparently got them. But who wants to take a chance? 35 Galaxy Note 7s have exploded, might be a strong word. Burst into flame. the pictures I've seen, you know, you don't want to get a burning lithium ion battery is a terrible thing. Terrible thing. You don't want that to have happen. And of course to you. And of course, Samsung doesn't want that to happen to you either, especially after all the attention the exploding lithium ion batteries on those hoverboards got. The last thing Samsung would like is some sort of federal agency moving in and saying, you know, you can't bring these into the United States anymore. Ooh, that would be bad. So they're recalling them. All of them. They've stopped shipments of the Note 7, and they are recalling every one of them. Wherever you got it, bring it back. I have a Note 7 I got from T-Mobile. I meant to before the show. I didn't get around to it. I meant to bring it in today just to see what the experience would be like. T-Mobile, and I imagine this is true of other carriers, can't replace it right now because Samsung hasn't shipped out new working versions. They sold a million or so of these. I mean, the phone literally came out a month ago, almost exactly a month ago. Or at least was orderable a month ago. And people got it. I got mine three weeks ago, I guess. Nope, by the way, to my knowledge, it has not exploded in any way. I don't fast charge it, and that may be part of the problem. I use wireless charging for it, which is a slower... I don't have even the Samsung has some fast wireless charging. I don't even have that, just the regular slow charging. That's fine, because I just put it on the nightstand overnight and let it charge. And I don't think that's risky, but who knows? I ain't taking the chance. I immediately took my SIM out and my SD card and put them in another phone. I happen to have one lying around. I feel bad for people, though, who traded in their phones. And this is their phone. And I would guess that's most owners. And now they have to bring it back or send it back and will be phoneless. T-Mobile, at least, says, oh, we'll give you something. I guess they have some sort of loaner. Yikes. I can't remember this happening before. I mean, more than a million devices will be returned. So somebody's saying I should keep my Note 7. You know, I don't think I'm going to actually get a replacement. I think I'm just going to get the $850 refund and buy something else. That's the risk, isn't it? Samsung faces that. But you know what? Samsung's doing the right thing. They really are. They need to... do exactly what they're doing, however much it might cost. It's got to hurt the bottom line, though. This is one of their best-selling phones. Um, Anyway, that's so if you've got a Note 7, I would not. My advice to you, why take the chance? Do not plug it in. Do not charge it anymore. And bring it back to wherever you got it. Samsung says that we don't care where you got it. We'll replace it. As they should. As they should. The Note 7 was my, it's kind of embarrassing for me. Of course, I didn't know it was going to blow up, but it was my recommendation as the phone to buy these days. If you're going to get an Android phone. Good news, of course, is that and a new iPhone's coming out on Wednesday. At least you can pre-order it probably Friday and get it a couple of weeks after that. That's what looks like the time frame will be. That's the typical time frame. So I got to think this is a benefit to Apple. Apple, which, by the way, according to rumors, now we don't know really what Apple's going to do on Wednesday. Wednesday's the event. That's the only thing we know. They're going to have an event, and there's a picture of a blurry Apple, and it says, see you on the 7th on the invitation. That's all we know. And, of course, the Kremlinologists who cover Apple have devised all sorts of meanings for everything. But the rumors are flying about what exactly Apple will release, and it seems to be the most credible sources right now are saying Wednesday Apple will announce an iPhone 7 and 7 Plus. They will not do a 7 Pro, the rumored 7 Pro, with the dual cameras. And I'm thinking the 7 Pro is also the one that doesn't have the headphone port. Now, that's not clear. We know one doesn't. Problem is, all we get to see is, you know, from Apple is leaked shots of the cases. And so that isn't necessarily useful for anything. The leaked shot of the cases, you know, you could look at and say, well, there's no headphone jack, but we don't know what you know, not the case the phone goes in, but the actual metal body, I guess would be a better word, right? The machined aluminum body. Those have been leaked out. We've also seen, because you understand how these are leaking out, the workers in the Chinese factories that are making them sneak them out. They most likely they don't sneak the actual parts out. They sneak pictures somehow, because you know they probably get strip searched. I mean, secrecy is very high at this, but it's a lot harder to keep a lid on something in the Foxconn factory in China than it is in the Apple headquarters in Cupertino. They could fire those people. It's kind of harder to, you know, if you offer a worker, you know, the equivalent of 6 months' pay. It's going to, you know, they're going to bring something out. They're going to find a way. The other thing we saw leaked were SIM card slot covers. So because you could put those in your cheek. You know, they're just little tiny little bits of silver. But what they tell you is what colors. There were five different colors, a gold, rose gold, a piano black, which would be kind of cool. Shiny black. They haven't done that one yet. They made the. And those are hard to do. I'm not sure I credit these leaks, frankly. And then kind of a whitish, maybe a silver one. In any event, it's at this point, it's a little bit up in the air. This is good for Apple, by the way. So that's two good things for Apple today. Samsung Note recall. A lot of people going back to AT&T, Verizon, T-Mobile, and Sprint saying, here's your phone. What are you going to give me? My advice, I guess, would be if you could survive without a phone for a couple of weeks, wait and get the Apple iPhone or the other phone coming along. It's a little longer. It's about a month from now, October 4th now we're hearing. This is, again, rumor that Google will ship its new phones. Now, they were used to be the Nexus phones. Remember the Google-made Android phones? These are probably the Android phones to get. Hardware is less than inspiring in general, but because they come from Google, the updates are there. And frankly, for Android, security is paramount. Apple, you know, look, both Apple and Android have problems with security. All operating systems do. Everybody does. Apple has the great advantage that they can update directly on these phones. They don't have to wait for the carriers to agree. They are the manufacturer, the sole and only manufacturer of iPhones. So Apple iPhones get updated. That's a good thing if you read about we talked about it, didn't we, last week, the horrific exploit. I want to talk about that too. That's it. But we'll talk about that later in the show. The Israeli company, actually it's owned by a San Francisco investment firm, that stockpiles these awful vulnerabilities and sells them to the highest bidder. Anyway, Apple patched that. Google could if they had the same situation where they were the only manufacturer and they didn't have to get through carriers. They could do it. But unfortunately, that's not the case with Android because it's open source. And so they let anybody use it. So then the manufacturer of the phone and the carrier are responsible for making sure those updates get pushed, which means they don't, which means most Android phones are not updated and protected. But the Google phones are. We think it'll be called the Pixel and the Pixel XL, and they will be out October 4th. So there's good replacements for these notes. Hey, we'll take your calls next. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 88-88. Ask Leo. That's the phone number. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, love to hear from you. 888-827-5536. Toll free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Heather Homan, the Phone Ranger's here. Hi, Heather.
Hey there.
How are you?
Good. How you doing?
You're way off in somewhere in other land, answering the phones in other land.
Labor Day weekend.
Across the hall. Is that what this is?
Yeah. Didn't you see some traffic?
No, but I go the back way.
Oh, you're going to have to teach it to me
sometime. I travel the country roads in my flivver. Who should I talk to first here today?
Do you want to talk to Rocco? I do.
He's
in Hillsboro, Oregon.
It seems to me like it'd be good to talk to Rocco. Let's start the show with Rocco. Hi, Rocco. Leo Laporte, the tech guy.
Hello, Leo.
Hi, Rocco. How are you?
Good.
Good. What's up?
I just want to know about a free or inexpensive video editor.
Oh, are you making Minecraft videos for YouTube?
Yeah.
Just a wild guess. Have you spotted Herobrine in your Minecraft installation? Are you seeing Herobrine in there? Because I see a lot of videos about Herobrine now.
Yeah.
Did you see that one guy admitted he was kind of faking him?
Yeah. Like, there's this one video where this guy faked it, but he tried to keep it hidden.
Yeah, see? Don't you do that. Now, be honest with people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now, let me think. So, are you on a Mac or a PC? How do you play it?
I'm on a PC with Windows 10.
And do you already have a way to record your gameplay?
Yeah, I have OBS.
Oh, you're very sophisticated. You're way ahead of the game here. So, you're recording it with OBS. And, you know, video editing is certainly important, but also important, good microphone. You got a good microphone so that people can hear you?
Yeah, I have a Blue Snowball.
Nice. Wow, you're set up. This is awesome.
Yeah. My newest video, I destroyed the computer.
Is mom or dad helping you with this?
Yeah.
Yeah? Nice. Who's helping you, dad?
Yeah.
Yeah. Dad kind of a geek. And mom too, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My mom edited my newest video.
Oh, she's an editor.
Oh, she uses iMovie for Mac.
Yeah, that's a good choice. I like iMovie. So she has a Mac, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I used to have a Mac.
That's fine, because it's, you know, it's sometimes Windows is easier. So you're doing what we call Let's Play videos, right? Where you play Minecraft and people watch.
Yep.
You play. And what is your claim to fame on this, Rocco?
I don't know.
Yeah, you got to find a claim to fame because there's more than one or two YouTube videos about Minecraft, aren't there?
Yeah, I don't have much, but Actually, I have like five. I've been busy with school.
Good. That's more important than Minecraft videos on YouTube. Because, you know, I got to tell you the truth. Sometimes people look at people like PewDiePie and they say, this is my goal. I am going to be rich making YouTube videos. But that's pretty hard. And I don't even know if you can do it anymore, to be honest with you. Maybe that the time has gone for that one.
Yeah.
So I would say do it for fun. Do it because you'll learn some great techniques. You'll learn how to build an audience, how to edit video, how to perform. I wish I could have, you know, the way you start in radio, because I've been doing radio now for, it'll be 40 years in December.
Wow, that's a long time.
Thanks. Thanks, Rocco. Yeah, it is. And the way I started is the way everybody used to start in radio, which is you have to work your way up. You start at the junkiest, worst station you can find, because they're the only ones that'll hire you out of school. Find a tiny, tiny town, and then you convince them somehow. You know, I'll sweep up around the station. I'll put away the records. We had records in those days. I'll paint the tower. I'll do anything you need me to do. Just give me an hour on the air, and then you get an hour on the air, and you get to work on your skills, your presentation skills, and work your way up. And that's, you know what, in a lot of performing arts, that's what you do. You start in the small. But what's changed in your generation is you've got this new venue that you can do this all on. People sometimes say, gosh, a lot of YouTube videos are terrible. Yeah, well, you got to start somewhere. Nobody starts being brilliant. You got to start working your way up, learning the skills, learning how to edit. So to answer your question, here's what I would recommend for you. Because you probably don't, you want free?
Or inexpensive.
Yeah. Windows Movie Maker is probably the best free program. It's not very good. You're on Windows 10, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
That's a shame. Thank you, Microsoft. They killed Windows Movie Maker. It doesn't come out on Windows 10. My favorite is the Sony product. Now, Sony Vegas is a more expensive product, but Sony makes a less expensive program, like Sony Movie Studio or something like that. I think it's under $100 if mom would spring. Let me just see what the price is.
Okay.
Yeah, because if you get mom or dad, $49.95, $50. Vegas, they call it Vegas Movie Studio 13. It's probably the best. You'll grow with it. It's kind of like iMovie for Windows. And I like it. I like it. So if mom will spring the money, if you can find Movie Maker and download it, will work on Windows 10. The chat room saying it'll still work. They just don't offer it for Windows 10 anymore. But that's a free one. YouTube, of course, has its own built-in editing. It's not very good.
It's hard, too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's all going to be a little hard if you don't have experience doing it. But I think Vegas is probably the best. Not the big boy Vegas, but the Vegas Movie Studio 13. And it's very easy. It's $50. You know what? They have a 30-day free trial. Why don't you download the free trial and see what you can do? That way you can see, is this hard? Is this something I want? And you get a month. Now, summer's over. You got to go back to school, right? So you're not going to have as much time to do this. So think about when you're going to want to download the 30-day free trial. Maybe the next break. And what kind of editing do you do?
Edit out, like, unexpected stuff.
If Herobrine shows up, take that out. No. Wow. He's good. You want Herobrine because that's a profit right there. That's a profit deal. Hey, good luck. What's your channel on YouTube?
Rocky Style.
Rocky. Style.
Uh-huh.
Nice. Good luck, Rocco.
Okay.
You're going to be the next PewDiePie. That's a weird thing to say to somebody. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. You do that too, huh? You Minecraft guy? I love Minecraft. I was playing it last night. Just did a little mining. You know, I got a little mining every once in a while. Get a little iron. Get a little ore. Looks for some. What'd you call me? PewDiePie? You're the next PewDiePie. Who? That magic music means it's time for our home theater guru, Scott Wilkinson. He joins us every week. Talk about big screen TVs, surround sound music, and all the joys of home theater. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Leo.
Yeah, who needs to go to the movies anymore? In fact, nowadays when I go, and this is probably the case for everybody, I would guess when I go to the movies, I went to the movies yesterday, and when I watch the trailers, we actually, Lisa and I will go, Netflix. We rent that one. We decide which ones we're going to go to the theater to see.
Yeah, I do the same.
And most of the time, unless it's something like, and now, but this is bad because what it's pushing movies towards is the big spectacular, right? With the something that you don't get the full experience at home. You want to go to a big screen and thunderous speakers and all of that stuff. So that means there's going to just be more car chases and explosions.
I'm afraid that's likely, yes.
And the small, thoughtful movie, like we saw last night, we saw Hell or High Water. It's a Jeff Bridges movie. It's a wonderful movie, but, you know, there's a little gunplay.
Not a giant blockbuster.
But it's not a giant blockbuster, and that, frankly, would be fine on my big screen TV with my surround sound. I don't need to see that in the theater.
Yeah, yeah. I thought the same, and I've heard some other people say the same about the movie. Last movie I saw was Kubo and the Two Strings.
Yeah, that's why we went to the movies yesterday, because the kids went to Kubo and the Two Strings.
Oh, I would have. If I were had been you, I'd have gone to that.
No, we'll see that on Netflix. Right? Right?
Well, I happen to think that that particular movie is very effective on a really large screen. I also saw it in Dolby Vision.
I have a 4K HDR TV at home. I'm sitting 10 feet from a 65-inch TV. That's a bigger screen than I would have seen at home. It's more fills more of my view. Would Kubo not be as good on that?
It'd be great. Well, again, I went to see it in a Dolby Cinema, which had Dolby Vision High Dynamic Range and Dolby Atmos surround, immersive
sound.
I have an
Atmos receiver, but I haven't set up the speakers.
You haven't set up the speakers yet. And that's another thing that you and I need to talk about. you haven't heard Atmos yet. You've never even heard
I've
it
I've never
yet.
Heard it.
I saw a tweet from Padre, from Robert, from Father Robert.
He's in Berlin right now covering IFA for us.
He's at IFA, and he apparently heard Atmos for the first time and said, "Now I know what Scott Wilkinson's talking about."
Oh, maybe I've been misguided.
You're simply uninformed. inexperienced.
Inexperienced and uninformed. That's me. All right. Well, I guess, but the problem is it's hard to find, right? I mean,
Atmos is not so bad.
Okay.
Atmos you can find in San Francisco easily.
Yeah.
It's Dolby Vision High Dynamic Range that's harder to find. I think there's currently about 22 theaters in the U.S. that have it, and that's not very many. But Dolby just announced that instead of getting 100 Dolby Cinemas with Dolby Vision in 10 years, they're going to do it in 2.
Good.
So we're going to have 100 theaters by the end of next year.
And that's another way, besides making big blockbuster movies with lots of car chases and explosions, to get people back in the theater, is to offer an experience that even if you have a home theater, more and more people do. I mean, I don't mean one where you press a button and the curtains close and the lights dim and you have a popcorn machine in the back. I just mean, a big screen, nice TV with a good sound system.
With a good sound system.
And that's all you need for most movies.
Yep.
Unless, you can make, so our theater has those silly seats, the D-box seats that move.
Oh, I hate those.
It's like an amusement park ride. But you understand why they do. And now they've just announced they're going to serve wine and beer and they're going to have a restaurant in the theater. I mean, they're desperate to get people back in the movies, right?
It's true. There are premium theaters that actually offer you the ability to sit in your seat while you're watching the movie.
Or order food.
And they'll bring you dinner. Yeah.
Yeah. Alamo Draft House in beautiful Austin, Texas, and now in San Francisco. Yeah. That's awesome.
I can't imagine getting into a movie, sitting there watching a movie, having a waiter come up and go, "Oh, here you go."
Well, they're walking in a trough.
Oh.
I'm not kidding. I've been to the Alamo Draft House in Austin. It's awesome. Now it's kind of more of a repertory, house rather than a first run. They program it. But you're sitting in the seat and you have a bar in front of you that has a room for food, and then when the waiter walks by, they're low. They're walking.
They're not obstructing your view.
That's cool. And they can serve you and they take your order. And they don't do a lot of serving probably during the movie, but it's great. You can order a couple of tacos and the Lone Star and sit there and watch the movie. That's better than being at home.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're right. You're exactly right. The commercial cinema owners, the exhibitors, as they're called in the business, they want to find some way to attract people to come into the theater. Last few movies I've seen, there's actually been a little trailer from an actor on the movie that's coming up saying, we want to thank you for coming out to the movies.
Please come to the movies.
Please come out to the movies.
Well, and you know, and then you have to think of somebody like the late Gene Wilder passed away this week. Just wonderful,
sad,
beloved figure. And
oh,
the movies
wonderful
that he made, which were all wonderful movies, are the kind of movies you might well say, oh, we'll watch that one on, we'll rent that one, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because they're not, that's true. They weren't action flicks. They weren't blockbusters.
Well, I don't know. Blazing Saddles looked really great on a screen.
Nothing like Atmos sound for that campfire scene, man. You just want a complete surround sound on that one.
What in the wild? What's going on?
Anyway, we should mention the passing of Gene because what a
we
talent.
Should.
What a
yeah,
beautiful,
what a
beautiful
talent.
Man.
Oh,
yeah.
Man, I loved everything he was in.
Yeah, yeah. So, well, I hope so. So, did you see anything at IFA that caught your fancy? Anything new?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, IFA, which is this big consumer electronics show in Berlin, which you have some people out there covering, Father Robert is up,
and Brian others. Burnett, yeah.
Yeah. Is often a harbinger for Cedia, which is a trade show coming up in about 2 weeks in Dallas that I'm going to. One of the coolest things is JVC, which has had faux K projectors that are 1080p, but they jiggle the pixels around to kind of make it high resolution. Now, this year, they're coming out with a true 4K projector for the first time with laser illumination. And high dynamic range capabilities and so on. It's a pretty big leap for JVC, which for several years has kind of been coasting along, making incremental improvements. But now this is going to be a big improvement. So that was announced at IFA. We're going to see it at Cedia, I'm sure. Another one that we might not see at Cedia is Philips. You remember Philips, right? The used to make TVs.
I heard of them. They make light bulbs. Yeah.
They make light bulbs, make a lot of light bulbs. Well, they introduced an OLED TV, a 4K high dynamic range OLED TV, which seems to me to probably be an LG panel. LG is the only company actually making the OLED panels. But they have included their Ambilight. Do you remember what that is?
Is it a bulb on the top that glows red when there's action going on? I don't know. Ambilight.
Yeah. Ambilight. It is. It's a... The back of the TV, three sides.
Oh, I was joking. It really does that?
No, it really does that. Yeah, and it flashes colors according to what's on the screen.
Oh, please.
That is so horrible.
I do not
so
want Ambilight.
Horrible.
But well, they can do that. You can do that with the Philips Hue light bulbs. They will do that, too.
You could, yeah. There's one good thing about it, and that is if you set it to a certain color of white at a certain intensity, that provides what's called a bias light, which helps with eye fatigue.
Yeah, my mom always said, do not turn out all the lights when you watch TV. She always said that. She knew.
There's a reason for that. And this TV can help with that if you set it up properly. But otherwise, it's just horrible.
You'll find Scott Wilkinson at the AVS forums, avsforum.com. And also, of course, his Home Theater Geek podcast at twit.tv/HTG. Thank you, Scott.
Betcha.
Ambilight. I've got Ambilight.
Oh, right. Man.
I'm about to tell you a way to... Go ahead.
That whole thing of changing colors with the picture is just awful.
Yeah.
Couldn't be worse.
Yeah.
But if you set it to technically called D65 white at 10% of the screen's peak brightness and leave it there,
or
that's worthwhile.
You could have a little light bulb, some lights, as I do, behind the TV.
You could.
Yeah. I have a little sconce lights that are to the left and right of the TV, and I just leave those on. They're on a dimmer. I can leave those low. And
yeah, as long as you leave them low.
The color is
probably not the right color white. But
who cares? All right. I give you the con for, as you see, 217 seconds.
Thank you so much. Beatmaster says, did you see Padre showing off the new Sony Walkman at IFA? I did. They were showing that as a little twit bit this morning before the radio show started. So I did, in fact, happen to see that. And $3,200 for a undoubtedly high-res audio Walkman is a lot of money. And they touched upon a subject that I am quite concerned about or think a lot about, which is if you have a high-res audio player, which this is, so it can do higher than CD quality, which means better than CD dynamic range and more than 20 kilohertz frequency response, but it's a portable player. And so where are you going to be using it mostly? Portably, right? You're going to go out into the world and you're going to take a walk or you're going to go in your car, something like that, where the noise floor, that is the sort of level of ambient noise around you, is very high. And that's going to obscure the low-level details, the low levels of audio signal completely. It's going to wipe out any advantage that high-resolution audio provides. So the point of that is a little beyond me. And for $3,200, holy smokes. Wascal, you wascally wabbit. Any thoughts or info on what happened with Ultraflix 4K streaming shutting down this past week? I didn't know that. Thank you for letting me know. I will look into that because that's bad news. If that's true, which I have no reason to doubt at this point, we need 4K content. And if that was a kind of a semi-major source of 4K content. So, you know, it's that would be bad news. I'm going to look into that. Thank you, you wascally wabbit. Baba says, we're getting an iSense cinema screen in my town. Do you know anything about these? No, I don't. iSense, sort of like spelled like iPhone and all that Apple stuff. Lowercase I, uppercase S, iSense. Huh. I don't know. I'm going to look into that. Will the Hanjin bankruptcy affect holiday TV availability? Boy, that's a good question. I don't know about that. That's a big shipping company, big Korean shipping company. They might affect LG and Samsung shipments. Rev Danuga, if I spend $3,200 on something to do with audio, it'll be hearing aids. Yeah, well, hearing aids do cost in that realm. Absolutely. Web 6064. Yes, my Denon AVR did just show up, I will be installing it in the next week or so. So stay tuned for that. Rusty Bones. Yes, it's not Joe Kane. I don't think Joe Kane's company sells LED bias lights. Maybe they do. I'd have to ask Joe. I know that a company called CinemaQuest in Colorado does. User 3505. I don't know much about HDMI 2.0B. I'm going to have to look at that too.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo. We go back to the telephones. Lee is in Aarhus, Denmark. Wow, I couldn't believe my eyes. Hi.
Hello.
Isn't that where, is Aarhus where Legoland is?
No, that's in Billund, which is about an hour's drive away.
I've been to Aarhus. I'm just trying to remember. It was beautiful, beautiful country. Yeah. We're going to be in Copenhagen again in about 4 weeks, 3 weeks.
Cool.
Yeah. Welcome. Nice to know you listen on the internet.
I've been listening for, maybe 10 years now.
Wow. I just love that. That knocks me out. Thank you.
You're welcome, and thank you for doing what you do.
Ah. So. It's a global adventure. What can I do for you?
Well, I'm considering some new headphones, and I was wondering whether Bluetooth was worth changing to.
Well, Apple seems to think so. I don't.
Yeah.
So there are good, Sennheiser and others make good, actually I should keep Scott around for this. Scott, you're still here, right?
I am.
Yeah, I don't know if you cover headphones on AVG Forum.
AVS Forum, AVS, yes, I do.
AVG is somewhere else.
sure, we do.
Bluetooth has a variety of what they call profiles. And right. The profile for Bluetooth headsets, note the set, not phone, is terrible. That's for telephones, right? So you've got to make sure. There's a higher quality stereo profile called A2DP, and that is what I think most headphones are. But there's a newer one, and it's widely thought that Apple will probably make, if they do eliminate the headphone jack, and there's still some, mystery over that. But if they do make a new headphone jack, they would probably support a more advanced audio profile that will give you supposedly better sound. Am I right, Scott? Does that ring a bell?
Yeah, that's the one called APTX.
APTX.
Yeah, APT, lowercase APT, uppercase X.
Yes, that, are there that any APTX headphones out yet?
Well, that I don't know. I think there are. Let me just go to aptx.com, which is a
that's the site.
And it's Qualcomm. It's
oh, of course, made by Qualcomm, of course, yeah.
Which is a chip maker, you
right?
Know,
so they'll have to use Qualcomm chips, I presume, to support mm-hmm. this. So, products but even then, the problem with wireless in general is, you know, it tends to be prone to drop out. I use A2DP in the car, as most people do, and it works okay. Mm-hmm. But your phone isn't moving around; it's near the, you know, the car, and it's usually the same distance all the time. I think A2DP sounds okay. I think it sounds fine, and apparently APTX will have even more.
It'll have higher quality.
Frequency range, right? I'm not sure. And now, of course,
exactly. So I'm looking at the APTX site here, and Philips has a pair of headphones that uses it. There aren't very many. Interestingly, there aren't as many products. There are some Bluetooth speakers.
You can pretty much bet that Beats will have an APTX headphone right about next week.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
If Apple or Beats will bring out some new headphones.
Well, we're all guessing because no one knows and Apple doesn't pre-announce what it's going to do. But if Apple does indeed drop the headphone port, and again, we did see pictures of iPhone bodies without headphone jacks. Whether that ends up being a product, though, is up in the air right now because there's rumors that that iPhone 7 Pro version will not be out next week. Mm-hmm. But if it does come out, then there's only two ways you can hook up. You could have a physical connection using the Lightning port, which means you'd have to either use an adapter that Apple would provide or headphones designed for the Lightning port, which Apple does already make. The problem with that, of course, is besides being wired, the Lightning port is a licensed port that Apple makes considerable amount of money on. So it would, you know, the companies don't want to do that. The headphone jack itself is not licensable.
Right.
So APTX is probably also a license, in this case, to Qualcomm. Although, guess what? If Apple does it, they won't call it APTX. They'll call it Apple X or something.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, right.
And
right.
It'll be just enough different that you'll have to pay them a license fee. But I would expect if they do this that they will have some wireless solution as well.
Sony makes the MDR-100 ABN, which is APTX.
And those are good headphones, right?
Sony headphones are good.
Those MDRs are a good range of headphones. I personally preferred wired. I mean,
I do too.
Headphones are an interesting story because on the one end, you got earbuds and the junk that's distributed with telephones that really are not great. But at the other end, some of the highest quality audio for the lowest price, the best bang for your buck, is in headphones because you can make really great speakers, you know, electrostatic speakers and stuff on headphones and only charge $1,000 or whatever. and so there are high-end headphones that audiophiles consider as good as the best speaker systems because you don't have to worry about room nuances and things. You can do a good job.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the question is what you're looking for. Are you an audiophile? In which case, Lee, I would definitely not go with wireless.
Okay. But it's mainly listening to your podcasts and
my podcasts, I think it won't matter. That's not audiophile. That's just spoken word. Spoken words can sound great. I mean, no question at all. If that's what you're listening to is audiobooks or podcasts, spoken word material, that's
then
fine.
Then who cares?
Well, I care. But I don't care. Yeah, you don't need to get high-end stuff for that.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
by the way, Sennheiser makes the Momentum wireless headphones, too, for 380 British pounds.
Now, the thing to understand is there's wireless Bluetooth, and there's also then other kinds of wireless. Some of them are line-of-sight infrared, which are terrible because you turn your head and the sound drops out.
It's bad.
And then there's RF.
Those with the stand.
Pardon me?
Those with the stand. Like where you put the headphones, connect them to the TV.
Yeah, you need a base station that's broadcast. Yeah. And so I don't really recommend those unless you know you're going to be facing the source of the audio.
Yeah.
But Bluetooth's okay. Again, within it's limited. It's within 30 meters of the sending device, and I think even closer if you want good solid quality. Number of people in the chat room said, somebody says, I use Bose A2DP headphones, and they've never failed me, the SoundLink headphones. I think A2DP works pretty well. It's a good solution. So certainly for podcasts, it'd be fine. Why do you want wireless?
The wire irritates me.
Yeah, it's annoying. Right. That's going to be, if Apple does eliminate the headphone port, they're going to have to make excuses, right? And so they'll certainly, one of the things they'll say is, it's annoying, and it is. Headphones get tangled, they get in the way. And yet anybody who's used a Bluetooth, you know, those earbuds for the headsets knows that is not a good way. I mean, I abandoned those after a while. I tried every one of them.
I did too. I tried many of them, and they were all terrible.
They drop out. Yeah. The sound quality is bad, and they drop out. A2DP is better. I mean, we all use it in the car probably, or many of us do. So I think A2DP is good enough, certainly for podcasts. But if you're listening to symphonic music from the Copenhagen Symphony Orchestra, and you want to really get the full sound stage, you're going to have wired for sure.
Yeah.
Right? I even bought $200 or $300 special screw-in connectors made of solid gold, right? Because, you know, I mean, headphones are another audiophile product, and you can go crazy with them.
Seriously crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I got the Hi-Fi Man, which is a terrible name.
Oh, those are great.
But they're electrostatic, and they were $800 or $900. They sound really, really good. And it's a really good choice if, you know, you want high fidelity and you don't want to set up speakers. And, of course, they can't do – they're stereo. The best they can do audio, binaural playback.
Well, but they can do simulated surround.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you have the right source device, you can potentially
– They sound
and
good.
Some of those are very good. Yeah.
Yeah, they sound good. And I'm listening right now on a $300 pair of AKG K240s, the kind of the studio – recording studio headphone of choice. Everybody wears these because they're comfortable. But wired, I'm wearing wired right now. It'd be a lot more convenient if I didn't. But I don't use wireless keyboards or mice either for the same reason. I want them to be reliable.
Okay.
Hey, it's so nice to hear from you in Aarhus. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Aarhus, yeah.
Aarhus. What does it mean, Aarhus?
I've no idea.
Nothing. The answer is nothing. Hey, it's wonderful to talk to you.
Yeah, okay.
Keep listening, Lee. Take care.
Yeah, I will. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, and it's true that if you spend $1,000 on headphones, they do sound better. Just because you spent $1,000 on
it. Just because you spent it. Yeah, right.
Hey, Robert.
That's, of course, the same reason that $1,000 speaker cables sound better.
Yes. That's why I got the gold connectors.
Right, exactly.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I just found another example of a Bluetooth headset it's probably great. Is the Bowers & Wilkins P5.
Oh, B&W would be awesome, right?
B&W. I love my P5s. I have the original pair of wired P5 headphones, and they're awesome. They just sound great.
Yeah.
And they're super comfortable. They're on-ear, not over-the-ear.
And are those Bluetooth?
Yeah, the new version of the P5 is Bluetooth aptX.
So that – they're aptX. Oh.
Yeah.
So the other side of the equation is something supporting aptX, and that's
have to have a transmitter that does it.
Yeah. So
and there are a couple of receivers I've seen in this list here. There's actually on this aptX.com website, there are actually quite a few products that have it. So
yeah. The problem is what are you connecting it to? So you need some sort of either adapter. Like
right.
This V40 Blackline, which, by the way, looks cool. This is some sort of...
Oh, is that
of,
like a tube it's amp
a, it's
or something?
It's a valve amplifier. Yeah, tube
yeah,
amp.
Yeah, that's tubes. Yeah.
So you need something, and oh, here's the Billy. What is this? What is this? This looks like the kind of thing you might add. Oh, no, it's got tubes, too. High-end DAC smooth tube sound makes Billy the perfect amp. So it is audiophile gear now that's supporting AptX.
Yeah, yeah, surprisingly.
Yeah, yeah. Not cars, not phones.
Yeah, how, again, I say, like I said about high dynamic range, high resolution audio in a car, you know, the point of having the super high resolution or high quality wireless in the car is kind of lost.
The LG G5 supports it. That's interesting. So here's a phone that does support it. The LG G5 has AptX. That's interesting. That actually is quite a nice. I don't know if you have to get the special back.
I don't know.
That'd be worth looking into.
Wow, here's a Mark Levinson preamp that has it.
Yeah. It's going to be that high-end stuff, right?
Wow, that's really high-end.
Yeah. Sony Xperia does it, the X.
Yeah.
So there are some phones that do it now.
I saw, a couple of Pioneer receivers have it.
Asus Zenfone 2 and the Zenfone Selfie. So that's good news. That means it's getting adopted now by phone manufacturers, which means it's probably part of the Qualcomm system on a chip they're getting.
Yeah.
The Galaxy Tab supports it, the S2 8.0. That's good news. So maybe, I'll have to try some of these, the LG G2. I wonder if the Note 7, the exploding phone, supports it. That'd be cool. Poor, I feel so bad for Samsung.
Oh, man.
Cause
I think my wife has a Note 7. I better...
I just got the Note 7, the Oppo R7. A lot of Samsung products do. I'll have to check. All right, I'm going to give this back to you here.
Okay, thank you. Several people are commenting in the chat room. Compter says the Jaybird X2, excellent Bluetooth headphones. Wirecutter recommends them. And Wirecutter is a good place to look for that sort of thing. Have I tried the Eero system for streaming Wi-Fi around the house? I have not. Who makes it? Eero. I'll have to look that up. Rev Danuga, Sennheiser RS120, RF stereo headphones are great. Okay, that's RF. That'll have a longer distance. Might not be as high quality. I don't know. RF can be pretty lousy. Jaybird X2, excellent Bluetooth headphones, and the Wirecutter recommends them too. Oh, and the P7 wireless, Web 6312. Okay, so the P5 and the P7 both have wireless options. BMW, talking about cars, they have something called speed volume. And I've seen this before. I've actually driven in cars that have it, where it will change the volume, and I assume also the dynamic compression, depending on the speed you're going. And the faster you're going, presumably, the louder the background noise in the car. So being able to sort of compress the dynamic range of the content based upon how fast you're going and presumably how loud it is inside the car is actually kind of a good idea. Yeah, heavy duty dynamic range compression, Twisted Mister, exactly right. Cyamp, I don't know anything about Bluetooth 5. The new Bose QC35s have Bluetooth in their new noise canceling headphones. I love my Bose noise canceling headphones. I don't have much good to say about Bose speakers, lifestyle systems, that kind of thing, but their noise canceling headphones are second to none. Really, really good. Tech William, to show you how not picky I am, I have two pairs of Bluetooth headphones I bought at Best Buy. Well, you know, Best Buy, they carry good stuff, not necessarily all bad stuff. Free to Fly, what do you think of SVS Prime Towers? Phenomenal. For the money, they're amazing. We actually did a review of them. Go to AVS Forum. Mark Henninger did this review. And man, he liked them. I mean, you know, they're in the same category as the Andrew Jones Pioneers, just in terms of value for money. Andrew Jones didn't do the SVSs, but I did have the speaker designer Freeman Smith on from SVS on my podcast some time ago now, maybe a year, several months anyway. And he he's a phenomenal speaker designer as well, and he makes great speakers for them, and they sell them for reasonable prices. So absolutely, those are very highly recommended. Lumpy says most GM cars products adjust the audio level as you're driving, and that makes sense. Noise-canceling speakers, noise-canceling headphones, bad for emergency vehicles. You know, that's a very good question, but of course it's illegal to drive with headphones on. So when I'm talking about Bluetooth in a car, what I'm really talking about is going from your portable device that you bring in to the car's speaker system. You would not want to wear headphones, especially noise cancelers, in the car. That would not be a good idea. Beatmaster, have I ever heard about Clear Audio Products, Kleer? You know, that's kind of tickling some memory cells in my brain somewhere, but I can't recall. I'll have to look them up. I go whole hog crazy with the volume level Mick does and open both doors on the Victrola. yeah, don't give away my age. That's right, Rev Danuga. Noise-canceling headphones doesn't keep out momentary impulse type sounds, only ambient drone-ish type sounds. Works great in the airplane. Web 6183, will Dolby be putting Dolby Cinema in any other chains like Regal? Not that I know of. They've got an exclusive deal with AMC. So in the United States. So in the U.S., it's only going to be in AMC theaters, as far as I know.
Well, hey, how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the tech guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smartwatches, virtual reality headgear, tablets, all of that stuff. 8888-ASK-LEO, that's my phone number, 888-827-5536. That's toll-free from anywhere in the U.S. or Canada. Outside of the U.S. or Canada, though, as you can see, you can call. Just use Skype out and call that number. It's a toll-free number. Shouldn't cost you anything. And I know we have listeners all over the world. That's wonderful, thanks to the internet. 8888-ASK-LEO. The website is all you need to remember. The phone number's there. The chat room link is there. All the information I talk about on every show is there. It's techguylabs.com. Techguylabs.com. And we divide the site up into show by show, you know, day by day. And then each show into hour, and each hour into question. So that way you can drill right down to the question you want. Make your comments if you have any. You don't have to yell at the radio anymore. Oh, it's a miracle. You can just go into the website and say, Leo, you're wrong. I have a better idea. No, you don't have to talk like that. Just type. And that is free. No sign up. No email needed. You don't have to. There's no gates. No gatekeeper even. TechGuyLabs.com. I did look at the AptX site. This is the new Bluetooth profile that will give us even higher fidelity sound on wireless Bluetooth headphones. And already there's already a number of phones, including a number of HTC phones, the LG G5, and others that support it. So that's good news. And I would imagine that an Apple phone, if they eliminate headphone jacks, you've got to have some solution. The other problem, I didn't mention this, with Bluetooth headphones, at least if you're not at home, is battery life. Now you have to charge one more thing. Ay, ay, ay. And if the headphones don't have a big, bulky battery, then you're not going to get great battery life if they're all, you know, built into the headphone. So, wireless, I'm not sure, is my favorite way to go for audio. Hey, let's talk about, this terrible story, the NSO Group. It's one of dozens of companies that collect flaws, security exploits, holes in devices we commonly use, operating systems, telephones, that kind of thing. And then instead of revealing them to the company that makes the device, and most companies will pay, by the way. Apple said we'll pay up to $200,000 if you give us a flaw that we can fix. And the right thing to do would be to do that, to deliver those exploits to the company so they could fix them to protect us all. But these companies don't do that. They hang on to them. They collect them. They cherish them. They put a lot of work, I'm sure. They put a lot of work into finding them. But then they sell them to the highest bidder. Usually governments. The NSO Group is a good example. They're the ones who discovered three iPhone flaws 3 to 4 years ago, didn't reveal them to Apple, but sold them to the Mexican government and the United Arab Emirates. And those governments use them to attack dissidents in those countries. The NSO Group says, oh, no, no, no. We have an ethics board. We have rules. We don't sell it to illegal. We don't sell it to the mafia. We just sell it to governments. But some of the most, of course, repressive people in the world, the government's scarier than any individual. And so they're getting them, I guess. Here's a great one. This is from today's New York Times. Want to invisibly spy on 10 iPhone owners without their knowledge? Gather their every keystroke, sound, message, and location? No problem. The NSO Group sells exploits that do exactly that. And here's the price list. They even have a price list. It'll cost you for, this is for 10 phones. So pick 10 people you really hate. Or dissidents, political threats, rebels. $650,000. That's all. $650,000. Oh, and there's a $500,000 setup fee. So it's more than $1 million. Now you see why Apple paying $200,000 per exploit pales to what bad guys and governments will pay. They'll pay millions. And this is just one company of many. They got caught because the dissident that the UAE was looking to spy on, Ahmed Mansour, has been spied on for so long by so many that he suspected the rogue text message he got 3 weeks ago. So that's not right. I ain't clicking on that link. Good. You do the same, right? I ain't clicking on that link. I don't know this guy. What's he sending me a link for? Had he clicked on the link, then the government of the UAE would have been able to basically listen in on every, not just everything. There's a microphone in the iPhone. There's a camera in the iPhone. There's a GPS. They would have had it all. It's effectively what they call a remote access Trojan. It lets you gives you full access to the phone. Instead, Mansour sent it off to the University of Toronto's Monk School, where they have a very good group of hacktivists, smart technologists who work for our benefit instead of for millions of dollars from sketch governments. And they figured it out. And then they told Apple. And Apple was able to fix that. That's why you got an emergency patch to iOS 9.3.5 just a week ago. Apple fixed it within 10 days of learning of it. And incidentally, if you're on an OS 10, you also got a patch because guess what? It affects OS 10 as well. So all Macintoshes got an update too. Make sure you do those updates. Now, it's not likely. Well, some of you maybe. But most of you are not being spied upon by governments or somebody capable of spending millions of dollars to spy on you. So that might give you some, oh, well, I don't have to worry. I'm not a dissident. Nobody's going to spend $650,000 plus $500,000 setup fee just to spy on me. But there's something to remember is that these exploits are not unique to the NSO Group. The NSO Group found it, didn't tell anybody, kept it to themselves. Doesn't mean other bad guys couldn't. Groups maybe with even weaker ethics or even a bad guy himself. Once there's an exploit, if it could be uncovered by one person, it could be uncovered by others. And that's the problem. NSO groups can say, oh, no, no, we keep this to ourselves. Well, of course they do. It's worth a lot of money. Doesn't keep other people from finding it and doing it. And nobody's going to tell Apple, right? Nobody's going to tell Apple, which means we're all vulnerable, every one of us. It's not, and this isn't even illegal. My. The NSO Group was founded by two Israelis, but it's owned by a San Francisco investment company. They bought it for $120 million. A year later, they've offered it for sale for $1.2 billion. Yeah, it's worth something. Yeah, these guys, They got a solid business model. That's a pretty good payoff. Everybody gets rich. Something really wrong with that. It's just something really wrong with that. But I don't think it's something we can fix. You could make a law against it, but then bad guys would be the ones figuring it out, people who don't care about the law. Or the companies like the NSO Group would go underground and not be public about what they do. They're trying not to be, although they do have a published price list online. I guess what is the takeaway? What is the moral? Well, keep your phone patched, I guess. But for 3 or 4 years, this bug has been out there and people have been buying it and using it. There's really not much you can do to protect yourself, except understand that when you're using a smartphone, you're in public. When you're using the internet, you're in public. When you're using a computer, you're in public. I don't know what the answer is. It's shocking. At least we know, right? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. The NSO Group says sale of our spyware is restricted to authorized governments, and it's used solely for criminal and terrorist investigations. Well, yeah, but they're going after people who are political dissidents in Mexico and the UAE, not terrorists. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, 8888. Ask Leo, the phone number. Back to the phones we go. And Brett's on the line from Tacoma, Washington. Hi, Brett.
Hey, Leo. How's it going?
It's great. How are you?
I'm okay. Actually, I just built a Windows PC, and I'm trying to transfer my files from my MacBook to my PC, and I have a MyWD passport that... It was encrypted. I have a password on it. I'm trying to transfer all those files from my MacBook to my PC.
But you can't. You don't remember the password?
No, I have the password and everything.
Oh, good.
Yeah, but it's not. It shows up and everything, but it's not showing all the files that I had on my MacBook. So I'm trying to figure
out. Well, it's probably because, okay, so you did it on a PC, so it's probably formatted for a PC.
No, it was formatted for a Mac.
Uh-huh.
But
I'm sorry, you're not seeing it on the Mac, though, right?
No, I'm seeing it on the Mac. I'm just not seeing it on my PC.
Oh, other way around. It's formatted for a Mac. Yeah, unfortunately, yeah. Formats... Back at the PC, use different file format systems. Apple uses something called HFS Plus. PCs use either FAT32 or more commonly, more modernly, NTFS. Apple can read FAT and sometimes can read but not write NTFS, but Windows cannot see HFS Plus. So generally what we do, if you want a hard drive to work cross-platform on both Macs and PCs, is you format it FAT32, and then everybody can read it and everybody's happy. Now yeah. You've got a hard drive that you can't read on Windows because it's HFS Plus formatted. That's okay. There are Windows programs that will let you read HFS Plus on Windows. So that's what you need to get. And some of them are, I think one is free. Let me just check. And then there are not. There's one that's not free. You're going to use this just once?
Yeah.
So you don't want to buy something, right?
No, not really.
I've used Paragon for years for reading Mac file systems. Let me see if they have a free trial, because that's all you really need. If you can get a 30-day free trial and it would let you do everything... Because otherwise, you don't want to spend whatever it is, $40 or $50 to do this. Yeah. I can't even find the price. And they really hide it, don't they? They don't want you to. Let's see. $20. That's not so bad.
That's okay.
Yeah, I mean, and then so just for future reference, you know, it's usually desirable to format it in a cross-platform file system that can be read by both. Apple's changing their file system, which might make this even more complicated. So that's the one I like best. There's one called HFS Explorer that is free. It's Java, though, so you have to have Java installed. That's not so bad.
All right, and that's for PC?
Yep. I Paragon has a 10-day free trial. The only question is if it would do everything. Yeah, I think the 10-day free trial would work to do no limit on the number of files and so forth. And then there's a more expensive one that I also have used called Mac Drive that I think would be better to go with Paragon just because it's cheaper. But try this HFS Explorer. That's free. We'll put all three programs in the links in the show notes at techguylabs.com. But HFS Explorer is from catacombae.org. That's interesting. Catacombae.org. Yeah. I haven't used this one because I have the paid version of Paragon. But it seems like, basically it's a one-time deal, right? You're just going to copy the stuff off of the drive, and then you'll be good to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give that a shot.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, my pleasure. Thanks for calling. David, Palm Beach, Florida. Hi, David. David. Oh, he said he wanted a browser on a smart TV. Don't. Okay. Yes, there are some smart TVs that come with browsers. Many of them do. I think the Samsung ones do, but they're terrible. They're terrible. You're better off if you want to have a browser on your TV screen. And most TVs that would offer that, any smart TV, would also offer you the ability to project from a computer to your TV using DLNA or Miracast. If you're on a Mac, you'd need an Apple TV, those little Apple TV boxes, and then you could use AirPlay. And so Miracast, DLNA for Windows, AirPlay for the Mac, and then you can use your computer browser, much better browser, browse anything you see on the computer screen, you could see on the big screen. Wonderful choice. Chromecast is also another good choice if you have an Android device or an Apple device and you have apps. Many of them have the ability to cast to the TV, including the Chrome browser. That's my suggestion. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Smart TVs are usually dumb. That's the problem. Hey, our show today, here's a smart solution for anybody who is a magazine buff, is Texture. Our show today brought to you by Texture.com. It's just like Netflix lets you binge watch movies, Texture lets you binge read magazines. And, you know, for all the talk about how journalism is dying and, you know, there is still such good writing, such good journalism being done in magazines. Over 200 of the best magazines, and you get unlimited supply of them at Texture. I want you to go to texture.com/twit to find out more. I mean, you want your gossip, you get your gossip. So here's why I use Texture. Because there's always a great article in, you know, every New Yorker or every Rolling Stone or every Vanity Fair. There's always a great photo layout in every National Geographic. Now, I could subscribe to those magazines. I'd feel kind of guilty, frankly, doing that because, well, they just clutter up my coffee table, kill trees for one article, and it's just not economical to buy them on the newsstand. That's crazy. With Texture, you get every page. You get the full thing. Plus, you get a bunch of other magazines like Adweek. I probably wouldn't subscribe or buy Adweek, but, you know, I can tell you I like to read it, you know, browse through it. Another good one like that is Billboard. You know, the Billboard charts. I love that. Right? But I'm not going to subscribe to Billboard. But it's kind of cool that I can get Billboard. Canadian Business. Chatelaine. Clean Eatings. Just a ton of Wired Magazine. Another one where there's always an article at least every month I want to read. And all you got to do is buy 1 month's, you know, month to a subscription of Texture. By the way, you can use it on 5 different devices. So think of it as a family subscription. If you sign up for Texture right now, you'll gain insider access to all the content from the world's most in-demand publications, including National Geographic and Fortune and Forbes and Garden and Gun, Girls Life, Boys Life, Girls World, Glamour, Gluten-Free Living, Golf, all of these. It's really kind of amazing. And you get every page in the current issue, plus back issues, plus bonus features you don't get in the newsstand version, like video. And then if you want to read your gossip magazines, you could do that too. Ladybug, that's great for kids. Have Ladybug, you know, next time you're on a flight with a kid, you got Ladybug on there. They've got stories. They've got games. There's stuff they could do. Make Magazine, there is a perfect example. To have that on your iPad or your tablet while you're doing a project, that's worth the subscription price alone. And I'm just to the M's. Texture.com/twit. Texture.com/twit. Hundreds of the best magazines in the world. Binge read, or just the next time you go on a plane, you'll be ready. I got a big flight coming. Texture.com/twit. Try it free right now. We thank you for their support of the Tech Guy podcast. Hey, Johnny Jet.
Hello, Leo.
He's grounded for the next month.
I am grounded.
Because a little jet is on the way.
Yeah. I was actually supposed to go to New York for 2 days.
And?
This week for the U.S. Open.
Oh, that's right. You like that tennis.
Natalie's on bed rest.
Oh.
Well, it's in my contract, actually, with American Express, Starwood American Express.
But they understand.
Oh, totally. Yeah. They couldn't be any nicer about it.
Yeah, they're supportive.
So now I'm just hanging out home and playing Mr. Mom.
I thought you were going to say playing Call of Duty. you could do that too.
I don't have time.
No time.
I don't know how single mothers do it. I just don't know how anyone does it.
When's your mother-in-law come out? I presume she's going to be out for the
birth. It's a couple weeks.
Good.
I'm looking forward to it.
And then when do you think you'll be on the road again?
You know, it won't be till at least October. Probably November.
I will send you guys postcards from our travels because, you know, in 2 weeks we're getting on a plane.
I know.
Big old jet airliner, and we're going to travel the world, and I'll send you some postcards.
Live vicariously through you and others.
You've been on that cruise before. You know what it's like. You've been on every cruise. Is there anywhere you haven't been that you really want to go?
There's plenty of places. It's actually my website of the week. I just put it in the chat room so you can click it, or I tweeted it to you. And it's Google Arts and Culture, their website on the hidden worlds of the national parks.
Yeah, see, there's a lot just to see in the U.S.
And the national parks just turned 100 last week. And, you know, they've been doing all kinds of promotions. And this is a pretty amazing website. I don't know if you've seen this.
Wow.
And they feature 5 national parks. And actually, I've only been to one of them.
Wow.
Bryce Canyon National Park, I've never been in Utah. Carlsbad Caverns in National Park in New Mexico. The Hawaii Volcanoes National Park.
We are so lucky to have this national park system in the U.S.
Without a doubt. And Google, you know, did an amazing job with this website. So for people who can't travel or who have never been to these places, including myself, you know, I'm going to start, you know, doing it by couch surfing.
So this is actually almost like watching a movie.
It is, once you click through skip through these intros, mm-hmm. then you can go in and you can tour the different parks, and they'll give you some inside information.
Google knows what they're doing. So this must have been a donation by Google to the Park Service. Thank you, Google, for doing this. That's awesome.
It really is awesome.
Yeah.
And one of them is Dry Tortugas National Park, which I never even heard of, I'm embarrassed to say, off of Key West, Florida, 67 miles.
Oh, I love Key West. I want to retire to Key West.
Yeah, so I really want to check this place out.
This is a nice sight. Holy cow. This feels like you're traveling.
It really does.
Yeah, so it's really almost like watching a movie, but then you can dig in and explore.
And they've got
a 360-degree view. You could swim through a coral reef. Wow. Wow, this is like traveling. This is awesome. This is really nice. I'm going to make this higher res here. We're going to go high def. If you've got the bandwidth.
You need to spend a lot of time on this. This is why I put it in the chat room so people, you know, after the show can dig in and check it out.
We can actually go into a shipwreck. Look at that. Okay, so what is the what is the site? It's
You know what? It's tough to. It's a long URL. That's why I put it in the chat room. I also tweeted
it. Jeez Louise. It's artsandculture.withgoogle.com, and then you'll have to dig down into
that.
But, you know, that's the whole idea. Google would like to go like you to see the whole site because there's lots of great stuff. Artsandculture.withgoogle.com. Nice. Correct. Our site of the week. Now, usually you have an app of the week, too.
I sure do. So this one's been around for a couple of years, but we used it for the first time last week. Soothe. S-O-O-T-H-E. Have you heard of this one?
No.
Oh, good. So this one is an app. You just call up anytime you want a massage. Natalie was complaining last week that she was so sore. I'm like, listen, just get on Soothe, order a massage.
You can get anything in an app now.
You really
can. Anything. You get food. You can get drink. You can get a car. You can get a masseuse.
Get a masseuse.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, she was a little skeptical about having someone come to the house. So you can choose man or woman or either one, whatever you want. You can do a couples massage. You can order them by 90 minutes, 120 minutes. Actually, you can do a 60 minute too. And they start at $99. She got a 90 minute for $134.
That's a good
But there's
deal.
All
That's
kinds
nice.
Of coupons out there for $30 off. And actually, you know, everyone gets a code if one of your friends uses it. You get $30 off. But you can also Google for a code.
But they have prenatal, which is awesome. I bet she loved that.
She loved it. And she just had another one yesterday.
Yeah.
And the woman, she's been around for a while. She used to do all kinds of celebrity clients. And she said that the whole thing has just changed. And she said she's been really impressed with the people she's been working with because she does a lot of couples massages.
Nice. So she likes working for Soothe.
Yeah.
It's S-O-O-T-H, and it's an app.
And it's...
Or you go to Soothe.com and do it on the web. They have apps for Android or iOS, but you can also do it at the website, Soothe.
Within an hour and 15 minutes, we had someone over the house. You can have someone come to your hotel room. You know, a lot of hotels don't even have spas, or if they do, they close early. So after work, this is a great way. Yeah. And I think they're open until midnight. Yeah, it's 8 a.m. to midnight, even on holidays.
By the way, a little tip. The minute we get on the cruise, first thing we do, we're not going to look around the boat. We're not going to decide where to eat. We're going to go straight to the spa, and we're booking the whole trip.
Why don't you do that in advance? You should always book your cruise.
I thought so because I was able to book my, you know, sometimes they have fancy restaurants.
Dinner reservations.
Yeah, I was able to do that, booked all the excursions. I don't think you can do the spa stuff ahead of time.
Well, you can. I just did the Viking Ocean, and you can.
That's a good idea because, you know what, if they allow it, everybody's going to do it. When we were on Royal Caribbean, you had to do it 6 months in advance or forget it. You know?
For sure. And that's one of the things about cruising, especially with the popular excursions. Even if you're not sure, book it in advance, and then you can always cancel when you get on.
Yeah, we booked everything ahead.
And then if you are too late when you get there, always ask the cruise director or whatever, or the people making the appointments, if any cancellations. And there's always a lot. But the secret is to book in advance.
Yeah, yeah. We go straight to the spa. You know what I like to do? Nobody cares about this. But sometimes, some boats, they have like a special hydrotherapy room with hot spas and you can relax there. But you have to like book that. I just like get it for the week. It's like grown-up time. And then if you have a kid or kids, you just say, hey, see you, kids. We're going to the spa. And you just spend the whole day there.
Yeah, you show them to the game room.
Yeah, the game room's over here. Johnny Jett, oh, I'm so happy for you, Johnny. Congratulations to you and Natalie. And it's hard. Bed rest is hard, but she's not going to be there that long, 1 month. That's not a big deal. She could do that.
Yeah.
And besides this, if you get a massages, you might as well just stay in bed and just get massaged all the time.
No kidding.
That's a good life. And your husband's bringing you sandwiches and
not bad.
Pickles and ice cream and whatever she demands, right?
You know it. I just
Hot
brought
water
them up.
Bottles. Nice. Does she have any cravings?
Actually, yesterday she used Postmates while I was playing volleyball to go get McDonald's. And she hasn't had McDonald's in 5 years.
You guys are so wired. You can get McDonald's from Postmates?
Yeah, you can get pretty much. You can get anything you can get.
Because they just go to the restaurant. You don't have to. They just drive. Send a driver over.
They can go to Target. They can go to the supermarket.
We live in an amazing world, don't we?
It really is.
Yeah. So, all right, JJ, JohnnyJett.com. Right, follow him online. He's at Johnny Jett on Twitter. He's on do follow him on Instagram. Wonderful pictures, although kind of more stay at home recently. And of course, his website.
My newsletter. My
Sign
newsletter
up for
is
that
the most
newsletter.
Important one.
It's free. JohnnyJet.com. Thanks, John. See you next week.
Thank you, Leo. Take care.
Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Yeah, I guess Regent Seven Seas doesn't let you book, unless I'm looking in the wrong spot. I don't see anywhere I can book ahead for the spa.
I've never been on Regent Seven Seas.
I haven't either.
So I'm not sure.
They were one of the first to do the kind of luxury all-inclusive thing. Leo Laporte, the tech guy, with musical embellishments by Nathan Staton, our musical director. 8888 Ask Leo. Sandy's in Costa Mesa, California. Hi, Sandy.
Hi, Leo.
Hello.
I need to know if my laptop is good enough for Windows 10, which downloaded automatically a couple months ago.
Well, theoretically, Microsoft checked it. That's the whole idea of this process. If you got the automatic invite and the automatic install, then Microsoft certified, it's compatible. But that's in theory. So tell me about your laptop.
Well, ever since Windows 10, it's been running very slow. And when I go online, it keeps freezing. And I was able to call Microsoft, and they did that remote access to my computer. And they told me that I had some third-party drivers that weren't consistent with Windows 10, and
right.
They disabled the drivers. But it is still happening.
Yeah.
And the same thing. It didn't really clear up anything.
Tell me, how old is the computer?
It's old. I don't know the year of it. It is an EliteBook 6930P.
It's an HP.
It's an HP.
Yeah.
So I have all the statistics on it here. But
here's what I would do. Yeah, it's fine. Here's what I would do. It's kind of a pain in the butt. The problem with the Windows 10 upgrade is that it upgrades on top of your existing Windows 7 or 8 installation. And maybe that wasn't the most desirable way to do this. It's what I would start with, just as you did. It's where I would begin. But if you notice everything's not working flawlessly, then I would do a fresh, what we call a clean install. In other words, you're going to wipe the drive and install Windows 10 clean without any pieces of the old version of Windows lying around.
Okay. And I have another question.
So let me just finish this before you go to the next one. So it's a pain. It's going to take, you're going to spend a day doing this. You're going to want to back up your data because we're going to wipe out the drive entirely.
Okay.
So, get an external drive. It's a good thing to have anyway, and just copy all of everything you want to save over there. And you can use a Microsoft backup utility that's built into 10 if you want. That's a good way to do it because it'll back up settings and everything. And then you're going to download from Microsoft the install utility. They call it the Windows Media Maker, Windows Media Utility, something like that. Media Creation Tool, I think is what they call it. What it does is it makes it, if you have a USB key, you'll need one with about 8 gigs free on it. If you have actually 8 gigs capacity because it's going to wipe out the USB key. So when you go to the store to get the backup disk, get an 8 gig USB key. It'll cost you $20. And then you can put the Windows installer on that. And then you can use the window. Once you've installed 10 as you have and activated it, you never get asked for a serial number again. You can do whatever you want. So you can wipe the drive, and I would do this. You can do that in the installer if you want. It's in the options on the installer. Just erase the drive and start over. This will fix a couple of things. First of all, one reason older computers get slow is just the drive itself. Over time, they get flaky. And reformatting the drive and starting over often fixes a multitude of problems. So I can't claim that this is gonna fix it because you're reinstalling Windows. It might well just be because you're wiping the hard drive and starting over. And then install Windows 10 and then restore your data.
Okay.
And do all this. Do the setup. Download the stuff you need now before you want to make sure you're ready to go. And there are a number of good articles online about, search for Windows 10 clean install and you'll find it. We'll also put a link in our show notes at techguylabs.com to a good article on this that will walk you through it and follow those steps. Easy to do. You can do it yourself. And I guarantee you, you'll get better performance. At the end, you may need to go to hp.com and download specific drivers for that EliteBook. Generally what happens is Microsoft gathers together all the appropriate drivers known to work best with Windows 10 and makes them available as part of Windows Update once you install. So generally, you do not need to go to HP. So I would start with just letting Windows do it. You know, and after you install Windows 10, you'll be doing a few updates, and some of those updates will be HP EliteBook specific that Microsoft will provide you. That's the best way to do it because now you're using the ones Microsoft recommends. If, however, everything's not working perfectly, you might need to get them from HP. HP will offer Windows 10 versions. If they don't get them. Get the Windows 10 versions.
Okay, so I've taken all these notes, and the only other thing I can tell you is it seems like when I go online and all of those videos and the ads start loading, I don't know if that's...
That's why it's slow.
Well, but how do you stop them?
You will. They'll go away the minute you reinstall Windows. This is a bunch... You got a bunch of adware on your system. That's what's slow. That's junkware that you've got, you know, maybe... Do you have anybody else using it or just you?
It's just me, but it happens if I go to yahoo.com, the most recent news article sometimes will start playing on its own.
Oh, well, that's normal. I hate this. That's welcome to life in the 21st century. It's so annoying. If it really starts to bug you, then I would recommend an ad blocker.
Okay.
It's ethically dubious because you're basically saying, I want to use your content. I want to see your content, but I don't want to pay for it by watching an ad. On the other hand, I also understand doing it because that's incredibly annoying. And in a way, the sites that are requiring you to have, you know, Bloomberg does this too. They blare video, the auto start video. That should be banned. That's not right. So in a way, you're just responding to their inappropriate use of your bandwidth because that takes your bandwidth and your time and your CPU cycles and all of that. So... Ad blocker is not a bad way to go. Here's another one to write down. Once you install Windows 10, download Chrome, which is a better browser than the ones that Microsoft offers. It's free from Google. And then Chrome has an extension called uBlock Origin.
Okay.
uBlock Origin. You want Origin, not the regular uBlock. uBlock Origin. That's a free ad blocker. That'll eliminate anything that's advertising. It's still not going to stop autoplay video, and a lot of sites do that. But at least it'll get rid of a lot of the annoyances. And then if you want to be ethical about it, unblock sites you like that aren't annoying you with their ads so that you see their ads. You're paying for good sites. You're punishing the bad sites and paying for the good sites.
Okay. And if this kind of doesn't work, what kind of laptop do you think is reasonably...
And by the way, it's been a long time. You deserve a new laptop.
Well, I don't game. I don't do Facebook or anything like that. I do go on the internet and I do use it for work, like a remote desktop. But I don't do gaming, but it seems to me with all of this video content that we're being...
I know. It's so annoying. So there are very many good laptops out there that would be 10 times better than your HP Elite.
Okay.
Even HP makes better laptops now. Much better laptops than they used to. Much better. I use an HP Spectre 13. I just love it. Now I'm running Linux on it, not Windows, but I love it. So here's what I would suggest.
Okay.
The only fly in the ointment is I would love you to get a Chromebook instead of a Windows machine. You'd be much happier, except for this remote accessing your work. How do you do that?
Remote desktop app.
Okay. Yeah, you do need Windows, unfortunately. So for the normal stuff, everything else you mentioned, email and surfing and all the stuff that you do, a Chromebook is a better choice. It's just more reliable, less secure, much more secure, infinitely more secure. Doesn't have all the complexity and the problems of Windows machines. Unfortunately, that remote desktop's it's not going to do that. So you do need a Windows machine. My favorite Windows machine right now, how big of a screen do you like?
Well, I'd be willing to get, as an accessory, an actual monitor.
Yeah, good. So we'll get a nice, thin, light one that you can carry back and forth, and then when you get home, you plug it into a 27-inch monitor.
That would be ideal.
That's the right way to do it. That way you get thin, light, better battery life, very portable, but it's best of both worlds. And now you can have a full keyboard, monitor, and mouse when you get home. You just dock it. So I love the Dell XPS 13. That is arguably the best Windows 10 laptop, although There's some really good ones that were just announced in Berlin at this trade show called IFA or IFA. But those won't be out for a month. So look at the Dell XPS 13. That's a wonderful, beautiful screen. Lenovo makes some really excellent ones. If you want a convertible one that you can just use the top of and fold it around so it's tablet-y, the Lenovo Yoga is excellent. But my favorite, if it were my money, Dell XPS 13.
And I'll be able to bring my office program with me.
Yes. If you subscribe, yeah. Yeah.
No, I don't subscribe. It's a hard.
Yeah, you can just reinstall it.
Okay, perfect.
Leo Laporte, Tech Guy. Hey, our show today brought to you by the good folks at Epson, makers of the amazing Epson EcoTank printers. We now have, how many do we have? So I have an EcoTank at home, the 4550, Precision Core engine, which is really nice. That's the 40 million dots per second engine that Epson developed for their industrial big printers and then brought down to their small office, home office printers. Wow. Super crisp black and white text, vivid color, and all the things you want an inkjet for. Two-sided printing, no startup time. It's an all-in-one, so it does scanning, color copying, printing. It's a great scanner, too. And then the thing about these 4550, it's got the EcoTank. And this is Epson. I think, you know, for all of the fame, Epson, I've been using Epson printers since the dot matrix days, the FX80, you know, and the MX80. And, you know, quite rightly, Epson is famous for PC printing. I mean, they really, you know, they kind of invented it. But they're going to, I think, you know, in years to come, people will look back at the cartridge-free printing with EcoTank printers and say, this is when it all changed. This is when it all changed. Because instead of cartridges now, you're gonna buy ink in bottles or packs, depending on the printer, and fill up those tanks. And when you buy something like, oh, here's a new one. Ooh. This is new, the ET3600. It's an expression printer. You get about 50 cartridges worth of ink in the box. Let me see. Here's the one we bought, the ET4550. That's 11,000 black pages, black and white pages, or 8,500 color pages. In other words, I'm not going to be buying cartridges. I'm not going to be buying ink for 2 years. And when I go in 2018 to buy ink for my printer, I'll be buying it in these bottles, which save you 80%. 80%. That is awesome. All the benefits of an inkjet printer without the cartridges. And they have a variety of models, including this for the high-volume business printer, the 4640. 20,000 pages in the box. 20,000 pages. And by the way, fast. 20 pages per minute on this printer. 20 pages a minute. That's 3 seconds a page. No wonder Epson's EcoTank system was named the 2016 Small Biz Windows Printer of the Year, CES 2016 Innovation Awards honoree. I mean, this is basically a revolution in the printer biz. They're going to go down. I think they're going to go down in history. People will, just like the, you know, people talk about the MX80 and FX80, say, yeah, I got an EcoTank when they first, man, that's, I still haven't put ink in it. Epson.com/EcoTank. Visit today to transform your home, your office, or your work group. For the best combination of ease and value, turn to Epson EcoTank Printers, EPSON.com/EcoTank. We thank Epson not only for the support of the Tech Guy podcast, but for kind of reinventing the printer business. Nice job, Epson. Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Leo Laporte here, the Tech Guy. Time to talk computers, the internet, home theater, digital photography, smartphones, smart watches, all that jazz. 8888-ASK. Leo will take, of course, an hour worth of calls now, but I'm going to keep going after the show ends in an hour because we're recording ahead for my vacation. And we like to give you a fresh new show every day, so we're going to do that. But I need to record some calls ahead of time. So if it's hard to get in, I know it is a lot of times hard to get in for you, keep calling because I will continue for another 45 minutes to an hour after the show ends. And usually that means it's a lot easier to get in during that time. Remember that number, 8888-ASK-LEO. Fernando is in Nuremberg. Hi, Fernando. How are you?
Hi, Leo. How are you?
I'm wonderful. We were in Nuremberg last summer. It was beautiful. It was also about 180 degrees.
Well, it is hot now. Not hot, but pleasant now.
Yeah. I had the Nuremberg sausages. You're famous for your little sausages.
Three in a bun.
They're so good.
Oh, yes.
And that and a nice beer. And, man, you're living large.
Oh, this region has like 400 small beer manufacturing places.
Oh, I know. It's amazing. It's amazing. And I guess Nuremberg it fights with, what is it, Würzburg over who has the best sausages?
Yes, but it's always Nuremberg.
Always Nuremberg. No question. what can I do for you?
Oh, congratulations on your new studio.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, we just we moved last week, and everything seems to be working pretty well. We still have a ways to go, you know, polishing it up, but it's all functional. Thank you.
Yes, it's your office is exactly
I know. If you're watching at home, the only thing that changed was the clock, and that's only because we got a better one.
Oh, yes, a little bit larger.
A little bit bigger, that's all. It's just a little bit bigger. Fernando, are you German or are you from Spain?
No, I am Mexican.
Mexican, all right. So you're living in Germany, though.
I'm living here in Germany. Nice. Very happy.
Good.
So I have this very old machine, XP.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
It's a project machine. Of course, I have other much better Windows 10 machines.
Oh, all right.
But this old machine, it's a desktop, Athlon, AMD.
Yeah.
It has the Service Pack 2 XP.
Right.
So I cannot do really much with Service Pack 2. And I wanted to go to Microsoft to download the Service Pack 3, and it's impossible. I cannot do it.
Well, you know, they stopped supporting Windows XP.
Yes, so there is a possibility I'm looking at. It's by Softonic. I'm really not...
No, don't get it from anywhere besides Microsoft.
Exactly. Yeah. So I don't know what to do.
Well, I just went to the Service Pack 3 site. Support for Windows XP has ended. It ended 2 years ago, April 2014. It does say you can update to the last Service Pack. So they just want you to know that you're not going to get anything more. So let me see how to download and install SP3. There is a separate download for it. Oh no. Oh, you click the link and it says, oh, we're sorry. The page you, why even Microsoft? Why put a link to a dead page? Yeah. We're sorry. The page you requested can't be found. So
they fool you.
They trick you. I followed the whole thing and I guess they're not offering it anymore.
Yes.
I wouldn't download it from Softonic. There may be other places you can get it. The problem is a lot of these third-party sites, download sites, add stuff, downloaders exactly. around it and so forth. I don't think you're any less secure without it, to be honest with you, because it's not. Well, it's the stuff since then that you're more worried about, right?
But I can only browse with the...
Well, they didn't update... the browser... Yeah, so here's the deal. The last version of Internet Explorer that works with XP is IE8. Way too old to use that. Don't use that. Google has stopped updating Chrome for XP. So you're right. You're stuck with Firefox, and at some point, Firefox is not going to do it.
Yes, exactly.
Can I make a suggestion? Right. I think you'd enjoy this. It's time for Linux.
Yes, I'm trying Ubuntu, but I downloaded the Emacs. But I don't know if I did something wrong, but it wasn't for the right microprocessor. So
yeah, here's what I would do. Well, so Athlon, you probably don't want to do, they have a 64-bit version, you probably don't want to do that. You probably want to do oddly enough, you don't want the AMD one. You want the x86 one. But here's what I would do. There are versions of Ubuntu designed for older machines, like Xubuntu and Lubuntu, Shubuntu and Lubuntu. They're designed for older machines, and they will offer the version for your Athlon processor. So, I really like Antergos, which is a Spanish Linux based on Arch. I also like Debian. The reason I don't use Ubuntu so much is because Ubuntu's owned and run by a corporation, a very benevolent, benign corporation, but a corporation nonetheless. And in the past, they've done things like, you know, put Amazon links on there and route your searches through Amazon. They stopped doing that, but they're based on Debian. I like Debian a little bit better. So I would go and find a Debian version that's for your machine, go to the Arch Wiki, ARCH, and go to the Arch Wiki and put in your machine processor and find the Arch version that's appropriate. I'm sure there would be one. Or Lubuntu or Shubuntu. Those, the good news about those distributions, they don't have the spyware. Or that's not right. The commercialware that Ubuntu put in theirs. But there's some Xubuntu would probably be perfect for what you... And you know what? Why try to keep running Windows? Microsoft's told you. It's over. So say goodbye. Yeah. You know? Say goodbye. It's not over for Linux. Linux runs very well in older machines. In fact, that's one of the reasons a lot of people use Linux, is to resurrect old machines that are no longer supported by Microsoft.
Yes. Yes.
Yep.
Well, I try, but... with Ubuntu exactly, but as you say, I will try another.
You don't want the ARMs. You don't want the 64-bit version. That's probably the reason it didn't work. For the Athlon you have, it's an older 32-bit Athlon. So if you go to xubuntu.org, you'll see right at the front, it's 64-bit systems and 32-bit systems. Get the one for the 32-bit system. And you'll be good. And it's very, you know what, the installation these days is pretty straightforward. I have to say, they've really got it down. With Xubuntu, you'll probably be using a lightweight desktop manager. That's the user interface, like XFCE. X in Ubuntu. And it really, Xubuntu. And it's really good. It's very, very Windows-like, actually. Very much influenced by the Windows interface.
Great. And maybe converting it into a media center, that would be also a good use.
Yes, it would be an excellent use. And there are, in fact, versions of Linux that are media center-centric, like Myth TV and XBMC, that would also – you could just go straight to a media center. That would be a good use for it, yeah. So, yes, I think you're better off not trying to keep Windows going. Microsoft's told you in no uncertain terms, we're done. We're done here. We're moving on. Can you kind of tell I'm not a huge fan of Microsoft? I don't hate them. I don't hate them. But I think there are other choices that are people. What I don't like is that people just default to it. Like, this is it. This is what a PC is a Microsoft Windows machine. I don't think that's true. Hey, nice to know you're listening in Nuremberg. Have a sausage for me.
Oh, yes, I will.
Have three. Might as well. Take care, Fernando. Leo Laporte. The Tech Guy. Leo Laporte, The Tech Guy, 88. Ask Leo. Back to the phones we go, and Valerie is in Sunland, California. Hi, Valerie.
Hi.
Hi.
I was just calling to ask what the best, or if people are even using walkie-talkie apps anymore.
Oh, you mean like the old days when you would have one of those phones, you just press the button and it goes, and then, I'm coming home. Yeah, get some bread. Like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, they killed that whole thing, didn't they? Sprint used to do that.
Yeah, I've been using with some of my friends and my husband, Voxer.
Yeah, Voxer's the one that kind of duplicated that, yeah.
Right. But we have a lot of problems with it crashing, and so I didn't know if there was a better version of that kind of app out there.
I'm going to ask the chat room because I don't know. I did have a Nextel phone. I thought it was very cool. And I have played with Voxer, and I love that idea. How many different people can be on the bloop? Just one?
You can talk to a whole group of people.
Nice.
Yeah, it's nice, except that it crashes a lot. And so we tried we downloaded another one called Zello, but with that one, it doesn't give you, like, just a notification, like just the beep sound. It just talks through. Even if the app's not open, you'll just all of a sudden hear someone talking.
That's really annoying. You need the sound, yeah. Right? I'm wondering if Voxer's, I guess they're keeping it up to date. Now they have it that works with the Apple Watch. And I feel like this has been somewhat superseded by, you know, Facebook Messenger and Apple's iMessages, where you could just send audio, right? And they can listen
right when
they want. I don't know why Voxer's less reliable. What kind of phone are you using it on?
You know, I don't have it too much on my iPhone. It's the Samsung Note and the Samsung Galaxy
The Android versions seem to be unreliable. Yeah, it works on iOS, Android, even Windows Phone and a computer. I'm wondering, it looks like the Voxer company is still alive and well and still updating it and so forth. Do you use a personal version or do you pay for the premium features?
No, we just use the free version.
Chat room, is there something better than Voxer to get that Nextel feeling? Facebook Messenger is what everybody's saying. But Facebook Messenger, you can't annoy somebody, right? You can't just press a button on your phone and have it make a noise on their phone and start talking to them. I think you can just send them audio and they have to pick up. You really want that walkie-talkie thing, don't you? That would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Somebody should do that. Nobody in the chat room is coming up with a solution. Voxer is the only thing, you know. Why is it unreliable? That seems odd. Is it crashing? Really, what's happening? Is it crashing or just not working?
Well, like I said, I don't have the problem. It's my husband and my friends that all have the Android. But, they say it crashes, or I've gotten, like, Vox messages from people that are just noise, like it's going off and in their pocket or something. I don't know. So it's just...
There are a lot of Messenger applications, and I really... The problem with the Messenger application, just like Voxer, is you all have to agree to use the same thing.
Right. Yeah, that's why I didn't know if there was a more popular version that works better.
I don't know. There's TIKL, Touch to Talk, TIKL, that's one. Say and Go is another one. No, that's a voice recorder. What you want is real time, that's a voice ping. You said you tried Heytel. Was that the one you tried?
No, we tried Zello.
So I'm going to give you a link. We'll put it in the show notes. There's a great site called Alternative 2. And somebody in the chat room said, just go to alternative2.net and type in Voxer. And then what it does, it gives you, I don't want to use Voxer. So what else is there? And it's given me 23 alternatives. Some of them are not appropriate. They're like WhatsApp and Facebook Messenger and Line. But some of them, like Tickle, do push to talk. So you're looking for PTT solutions.
Okay.
And it looks like there's a few. Voyeur, V-O-J-E-R. So it looks like there are a few. Talk to Me. Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. So I guess what you do is, the problem is you got to all agree on which one. So you got to try them all and figure out which one's the best. Zello's the one you tried and you didn't like that one so much, huh?
Right. Yeah. We couldn't figure out how to just send the message and then we can open it and listen it whenever we want. It would just come through. A voice would come through your phone.
Yeah. I mean, there is one for iPhones only called IPTT, but that wouldn't be good because you need, I'm looking. There's a review from walkietalkieguide.com to walkietalkie apps. And they mention Heytel, Tickle, Zello, Voxer, and Line app. So I would try those that I mentioned. Heytel, Tickle, T-I-K-L, and Zello. You already tried. We don't like Zello, so we're going to eliminate that one.
Okay.
All right. And then keep listening. Maybe somebody will call and say, oh, I'll tell you what to use. I really like this.
Okay, I will keep listening.
All right, thanks. Yeah, I don't use those. I should, you know, be kind of, if you have just a limited group of people that you really spend all the time talking to, I just use text messages now, right? And with many different texting systems, like Apple's messages, the easiest way for me to text is record audio. So it's very much like Voxer without the annoying. By the way, people around you hate it. I was kind of not unhappy when Nextel went under, because you'd hear people and you'd be in the grocery store and it would just drive me crazy. So the easier way to do this now is, you know, you open Messenger, Apple's messages, you know, the new Google app, which is someday going to come out, called Allo. Allo will do this as well. And, you know, it's very easy with Apple's messages. You press, instead of typing, you press the record button and you record. And then if you swipe up, it just sends it. So you can do it with one hand, literally. Just press the record button. Hey, get some bread while you're there, okay? Swipe up, and you're done. And they'll get a sound, you know, if their notifications are turned on, and they can listen in. It's kind of close. Logan 5, do you have to, is in the chat room, do you have to say over at when you're using one of those? Over. Do you have to do that? I'm annoying people just by going. It was kind of annoying. Okay, I'm just saying. It might be why they went under. I don't know. Sprint Bottom offered that push to talk for a little while on Sprint phones. I even have one in my museum behind me, and then just said nobody wants this. 2 million customers they lost when they shut down Nextel. 2 million. It was a lot of construction workers, people who were on the job. You know, it was a good way to communicate. It was like a walkie-talkie, but via the phone system. 8888 Ask Leo, Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Roger, Roger. What's the vector, Victor? Leo Laporte, the tech guy. 8888 Ask Leo, the phone number. And back to the phones we go with Tim in La Habra, California. Hi, Tim.
Hi, Leo. I'm having an issue with my Windows 10 that downloaded, and it's essentially a pop-up screen that says, how do you want to open this file?
Yeah. What kind of file is it?
Well, that's kind of the problem. It doesn't tell me.
You mean it's not? You're not asking for a file to open. It's just popping up that window.
Yes, it's a white rectangular window. At the top it says, "How do you want to open this file?" And then it has pre-chosen a few of the.
Yeah, I understand. But what I'm asking is, what triggers that pop-up? Are you actually trying to open something, or it just happens automatically?
It happens automatically, okay. About every 15, 20 seconds.
That's nice. Something's on that machine, probably. It's trying to open something. So the idea of that, as you probably know, is Windows maintains a database of applications that are meant to open certain kinds of files. It's kind of a janky setup, but the problem is, you know, double-clicking a document, if it weren't for this, would produce no result. You'd have to open the application first and then say, and now I want to open this document. So they've got this database. It's called a file association database. And if it's got an extension of .docx, well, it knows enough because it's in the database to open Word. And the reason I ask is, well, what kind of document are you opening? And then we could find something to open it. But it's a little more concerning because you're not opening a document. It's just doing it.
That's right. And I just wanted to give you a little bit of background. So I originally had Windows 7, and for like over a year, I kept telling Windows, no, I don't want 10. Thank you very much. I don't want it. Well, while I had 7, it developed this pop-up that according to my son-in-law, was a Visual Basic script virus that it kept trying to open.
Yeah, so you know what? There's something on your system, and it's still on your system. And it's not something good. It's adware or worse.
And he also told me that the reason that none of the virus stuff that we've tried to put on here to go hunt for it can find it is because it's starting up before they...
Antiviruses are a very limited use nowadays. So the first thing I do is figure out it's somewhere it's starting up and you got to find out what it is. Now, really, the best thing to do at this point would be assume that your system has been compromised, wipe it out, and reinstall Windows. That would be my strong recommendation. If it happened to me, that's what I'd be doing. I'd back up my data, wipe the drive, and reinstall a fresh copy of Windows from a known good source. Because your system was compromised under 7. Windows 10 didn't get rid of it. It's just giving you a different error message. If you felt like, oh, I don't want to do that, there are things you can do. You've already tried some of them with antiviruses, but the problem with it is it's never a guarantee that everything's good. It's just kind of putting a Band-Aid on the problem. The first thing I would do is figure out what's starting up when you start up the computer. And you can do that. You could do that with Task Manager, but I would download a program called Auto Runs. It's from Microsoft that tells you everything that starts up. You'll get it from the Microsoft SysInternals page. You can download it and just take a look at what's starting up when your computer is turning on. One of them is this thing. You should also examine your browsers to look for browser extensions and toolbars. Those are the kinds of things that also do this. If you're lucky, it's just adware. It's easily found and removed. But again, you know, once you're compromised, there's no way to make sure that you're not, that there aren't other side infections. Sometimes what happens is bad guys put stuff on your system that's easily removed and obvious alongside of stuff that's not so easily removed and hidden. And then you remove the obvious stuff, say, hey, I'm golden. And you continue to operate and you're not golden. So that's why, in general, any security expert will say, well, the best thing to do at this point is to nuke it.
Well, you know, that's exactly what he told me that I had to do. But obviously, I don't want to do that if I don't have to.
I don't blame you. It's a pain in the butt.
Right. And I mean, then not only do I have to probably go buy Windows 10 to put on here.
Well, no. Once you have Windows 10 on a machine, you don't have to buy it. You just download it from Microsoft and reinstall it. Once Windows 10 is activated on a machine.
Yeah.
And yours is activated, I presume. When you look at it, it says activated.
Oh, yeah, it changed my entire desktop around.
You basically got what Microsoft calls this is an entitlement. Your machine is entitled to Windows 10. It will never ask you for a serial number again. You just reinstall it. So you don't have to worry about that. You don't have to buy Windows 10. You get the Windows Media Creation Tool. It will create a Windows 10 boot disk on a USB key. And then you can wipe the drive and install it from there. So that's not the issue. The issue is more that it's a pain. You got to reinstall your apps. You got to back up your data, restore that. Try Auto Runs at least to kind of figure out what's going on. I just understand that you may find a VB script that's running on startup. That's probably what it is. It'll be a .vbs file or something like that. And that's not unusual for malware. But that VBS script may have done other things to your system that you can't remove.
So I'm looking for something with a file extension of .vbs?
Possibly, yeah. That's the first thing I'd look for. So go to Windows SysInternals. You just Google Windows SysInternals. They have a variety of wonderful apps written by a guy named Mark Rusinovich. He actually wrote them independently of Microsoft. Microsoft liked him so much they bought him and the company. And now he works for Microsoft and the Azure team. But he maintains these. One of them is called Auto Runs, and it tells you everything that starts up when you run your machine. He also has a Process Explorer, and he's got all sorts of really useful tools there. But Auto Runs will at least tell you. See, whatever it is, I believe, is starting up when you start up the machine, as your friend or son told you.
Yes. And well, you know, the other issue is that he told me
is like, for example, all of my data is backed up onto an internal external drive.
Good man.
So, well, I'd like you to know I have Carbonite.
Good man, double good man.
But I have this external drive that has all of my data files in it.
Yeah.
And what my son-in-law was telling me is that that particular virus could be coming from anywhere.
Yeah, it could be.
So even if I...
Data files are generally safe to restore. Data files alone can't harm you. Only applications can harm you, but sometimes a data file can use a flaw in an application. I wouldn't worry about your data files. I would wipe the, I mean, this is what I would do if I were you. I would wipe the drive, reinstall Windows 10, then restore your data. You've got it backed up twice now, so you don't have to worry so much about that. The other pain is going to be reinstalling your applications, and I hope you have all the disks for that. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Ladies and gentlemen, here we are cruising into the sunset, and our captain on the cruise, Dickie D. Bartolo is here. Mad Magazine. I'm so relaxed from this cruise,
you
I can't
need
talk.
A trip.
Mad Magazine's maddest writer, Dickie Bartolo, is here. Of course, you know his work in Mad Magazine, but did you know he was a gadget hound? Well, you do if you listen to this show, because he keeps showing up every week with another gadget. Hello, Dickie.
I do.
Yes.
I do. And actually, I know you're going on 87 ships and 19 airplanes, so I have a gadget.
Yes.
But unfortunately, you're not spending any night in any places. It's just
no.
2 weeks of solid
travel. It's all days. Yeah, because
it's all.
Yeah,
it's
yeah
all.
That's the idea.
Little device that's $59 called AirScale. You can find it on Amazon.
Oh, I need this. I need this because they charge you for an ounce over, they charge you.
Yes. And so, Leo, this is perfect for travel. It is a 6,500 milliamp battery, external battery charger.
Yeah.
But there's a little hook that slides into the side of this device. And then you hold the device like a handle. And the little hook that hangs down goes around your luggage. So it can weigh your luggage. It goes up to 80 pounds or 44 kilos.
And if you're at the grocery store, you could also weigh your meat that way.
You could double check.
Double check. No thumb on the scale.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the guy says, I can't weigh it because my electronic scale is dead. You said, no, I can also charge your scale.
Wait a minute. It doesn't have a charger in it, does it?
Yes, that's the key.
What?
It's two complete devices in one. Go to Amazon, check AirScale, or just go to my website and to your page, and you'll see what it looks like. It is so clever.
That is cool. Okay, I'm going to Giz, G-I-Z, Wiz, W-I-Z dot biz, B-I-Z.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm gonna click the link that says the Giz Wiz on the Tech Guy.
Exactly.
And then I will get more information about this, the air scale. So I've seen other scales. In fact, I have one that Chad gave me that was just a scale. But this is a scale and a phone charger.
A scale and a 6,500 milliamp charger.
Wow.
Inside.
Why not bundle the two together?
No, exactly. And it's actually very good looking. When it's out, the face of it is totally black. And it isn't until you start use it. And in one position, it'll tell you the kilograms, and in the other in pounds. And then you click the top button, and it tells you what percentage of charge is left of the 6,500 milliamps.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. And it's $60.
$60.
And you
$59.
Get it,
yeah,
get it on
Amazon.
And
I think it's Amazon Prime.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. So I get it before my trip.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Exactly. You'll have it in like 3 days.
Well, because you want to carry this in your carry-on because you want to weigh your luggage. If you put it in your luggage, it's hard to weigh your luggage.
Yeah. It's also hard to charge your devices.
Yeah, but this is the thing. It's in your carry-on. It should do something else.
Yes,
it could be a toothbrush. That'd be okay. But in this case, it's a phone charger.
It's a phone charger.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. And it's pretty accurate. I guess it would be.
You know, it is because I tried something on my mini scale and then weighed it on that, and
right.
It was within a pound. So
and if your bag weighs more than 88 pounds, You should be taking a truck, not a plane.
Exactly.
You'll find Dick at gizwiz.biz. That's his website. Visit and play the What the Heck Is It contest. A brand new contest began a couple of days ago, yep. What was that thing? I thought it was...
Well, you know what? I was amazed. A couple dozen people knew it. It was a DAP cap.
A what?
It's called DAP cap, D-A-P cap.
Yeah.
And it goes on the top of this product that DAP makes.
Oh, yeah. It's like caulk or something.
Yeah, exactly. And
wow.
So it turns out our audience also are do-it-yourselfers.
They're handyman. But now we've got a new one. It's a close-up of a very elaborate gadget. Wow. That is interesting. So if you can identify it. Now, here's the deal. There's 12 autographed copies of Mad Magazine for the right answer, but there's 24 for the wrong answer. So guess what Dick wants. Now, of course, he's going to judge you by how funny you are, so make sure you make it a fun one. Actually, all the rules are gizwiz.biz. The What the Heck Is It contest will go September and through Halloween. Believe it or not.
Yeah, Halloween, exactly.
Yeah, we're getting close. So you have till Halloween to figure out, oh, is that a clue? Is this perhaps part of a costume?
That's the entire gadget.
That's interesting. The clear plexiglass disc implies, I think it's, I know what it is. It's a cake corer for looking for oil in a cake, exploration for oil in case you want to drill in a cake.
Yeah.
Or something.
You know what? This is the first time I've ever said this in 8 years. Don't send that in.
Dick does a great podcast, too, the GizWiz podcast. You'll find that at gizwiz.tv. Thank you, Dickie D.
Okay, buddy. See you again next week.
Yep. See you next week. Oh, Joe is in Chickatawaga, New York. Hi, Joe.
Howdy. I have a Nexus 7, and it's the original, and it's starting to, kind of be...
I have one, too. I love it, and Google stopped making them. It drives me crazy. It's a great Android tablet.
Well, yeah, and I heard rumors they're going to come out with another one this year. But
all rumors.
I've heard you say, though, that, don't waste your money on cheap tablets.
Well, this is the exception. I mean the $50 tablet they're selling at the gas station.
Well, that's what I mean. About how much should I be spending on a tablet to have it be a halfway decent one?
Well, nowadays, not a lot. I mean, this Nexus 7 was under $200, right?
Oh, yeah.
It was a well-made tablet by Google. It just depends. A lot of it depends on the size of the screen. The 7-inch Nexus 7 was inexpensive, partly because it had such a small screen. But that was one of the things I liked about it. It's very compact. You could put it in your briefcase or your pocket even. It's almost just like a giant phone, like a little bit too big phone. Now, Samsung makes some really excellent tablets. I love them. They're priced more like the iPad than an Android tablet. And there are bigger screens and so forth. So that's the first place I'd look for an Android tablet is Samsung. The best place, as always with Android, would be to get it from Google. I'm becoming more and more a firm believer that because Google guarantees the updates, they keep it up to date, that's your safest place to get an Android device. I wonder, Apple's even selling fewer and fewer iPads. I wonder if the tablet category itself is... at best moribund, at worst gone history. Why isn't Google's not even making their Pixel C, their bigger tablet, anymore?
The other thing I was wondering about is every once in a while I see an ad for a smartphone at a dollar store. They're selling them for like $20. Yeah. Are those any good?
Those will not get updated. I can pretty much guarantee you. Yeah, I mean, stick with, at this point, my recommendation, especially after this Note 7 fiasco, I mean, not that it couldn't happen to Google, but I would stick with Google. Leo Laporte, the tech guy. Well, that's it for the Tech Guy Show for today. Thank you so much for being here. And don't forget, it's just the tip of the iceberg. We do nearly 30 shows on the Netcast Network. It's called TWIT, T-W-I-T. It stands for This Week in Tech, and you'll find it at twit.tv, including the podcasts for this show. We talk about Windows on Windows Weekly, Macintosh on Mac Break Weekly, iPads, iPhones, Apple Watches on iOS Today, Security and Security Now. I mean, I can go on and on and on. You even get your daily dose of tech news with Tech News Today. And of course, The Big Show every Sunday afternoon, This Week in Tech. You'll find it all at twit.tv. And I'll be back next week with another great Tech Guy show. Thanks for joining me. We'll see you next time.